Hey, what's up, good people? It's Tony Wiggins here with Locked On Jaguars. Who has to play well as a unit in order for the Jaguars to sort of guarantee success this weekend in Philadelphia? I'll tell you in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Locked On Jaguars. I am your host, Tony Wiggins, the host of the daily Locked On Jaguars podcast, where it's your team every day. We thank you for making us your first listen and reminding you that we are free on all platforms wherever you get your podcast. Also, that LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to and faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. A lot to get into today. A lot going on today in Florida, period. Here in Jacksonville, everybody's gearing up for the remnants of what we hope will be a tropical storm by the time it reaches what we call the first coast here in Jacksonville. But also mindful and prayerful for all of our friends and fellow Floridians down on the southwest part in the central parts of Florida, where probably right as I speak, they're feeling the brunt of a very, very dangerous category 4 hurricane. So we're mindful that there are more important things going on than football right now. But hopefully, since everyone's sort of locked in and battening down the hatches, as they say in the South, you need something to listen to and talk to. And there's going to be a football game played on Sunday between your Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 2-1, going up to Philadelphia to face the 3-0 undefeated Eagles. We've talked ad nauseum about this being a quote-unquote revenge game or a going home of sorts for Doug Peterson. But we really have to get into the nuts and bolts of how the Jaguars can win the game and who has to really, really step up and play well. I'm going to talk about the challenges that a certain group will have, the DBs, and how they can overcome those challenges and who can help them. We'll do that in segments 1 and 2. In the third segment, I'm going to have a little fun with you. Since Doug Peterson is going home to Philadelphia, I'm going to try to compare what we already know about the Jacksonville Jaguars this year with his 2017-2018 Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles to see how they sort of stack up. But I warn you, it's not necessarily an apples-to-apples comparison, but we're going to go through with that. But first, let's not bury the lead and get back to this matchup on Sunday. There are a lot of things that the Jaguars have to be wary about, okay? It doesn't just start and stop with one position or one player. We're going to have a crossover edition tomorrow, and you're going to hear some of the things that I think are serious, serious concerns. But this is one area where I think the Jaguars can make or break themselves, and that is if their defensive backs play well, they have a really, really good shot of winning this game. The reason I say that is because the Eagles really depend on their wideouts, man. And when I'm talking about the wideouts, I'm not just talking about the two starters. I'm also talking about the tight end, the backside of the backfield, as well as their slot guy, the third guy who can really get down the field, number 16. The thing with me, though, is you have to start with something, right? We always say don't give them a smorgasbord or don't give them a buffet. So we have to start with something. And that one thing that we can start with today is stopping their two outside receivers, A.J. Brown, who was acquired in a trade from the Titans, and I still to this moment don't know what the Titans were thinking about when they traded him away. The other thing they have to do is find out where Devontae Smith, because while A.J. Brown may be their most talented or gifted player, Devontae Smith might be their heartbeat. And with the way that he plays and how he manages to get open, really, really is about 180 pounds, but personifies that city of Philadelphia with the manner in which he goes about his business. A very workmanlike, professional-like, just a pure, I'm going to get open, throw me the ball, I'll catch it, and make something happen wide receiver. So those two players, along with Dallas Goedert, their tight end, form a formidable problem that if the Jaguars don't keep them in check on Sunday, will be, if they don't keep them in check on Sunday, they're not going to win. Okay, so that means that Tyson Campbell, and if Shaq Griffin is back, and if he's not back, Darius Williams and Trey Herndon, who stepped in last week and had a huge game, are going to have to play well. And they're going to have to do that in unison and in communication with Rashawn Jenkins as well as Andre Sisco. Everybody's going to have to be on the same page. Now, there's a little caveat to this, and that is those guys got to help each other, and there's another group that has to help those guys, right? So we're going to compare and contrast and talk about this matchup and then talk about a little bit of situational football that can prevent the Jaguars from getting in too much hot water and too much trouble where they have to depend on those guys a little bit too much, which is something that we saw a lot of in week one when they played Washington. All right, so hang tough with me. We're going to get into it as we move forward for the rest of the show. We're going to get into all of that. And then remember, we're going to do a little bit of quick compare and contrast with Super Bowl teams. We'll do all of that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. But I got to tell you first about LinkedIn. That's right. Our sponsor for today's show is LinkedIn. And I've owned a small business. In fact, I've owned a couple of small businesses. And one of the things you always want to do is get the word out to your people or to the prospective employers about who you are and what you are. And LinkedIn can do just that for you. You can just create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Now, I didn't want that many of them to apply, but some companies do. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors, because you got stuff like this. So you do what I said, and then all you do is add your job and the purple hashtag or hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find those candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? So post your free job. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, man, we're rolling along here on Locked On Jaguars on a Wednesday where we are here in Jacksonville and we're all buckled down, prepared for maybe about 2 days of inclement weather, flooding, maybe power going off. And it's going to be something. These days are always rough, but the thing you want is you want to make sure that, you know, you practice good safety, that you have enough perishable items, you have enough water. Public safety message, run some water in your bathtub. So before I get back to the Eagles, let me tell you what that's about. You put the water in your bathtub because at some point they may turn off the water supply because it'll get overloaded with a bunch of rain and a bunch of water that has not been treated properly. So they'll cut the water system off so that it doesn't get contaminated. Well, that means you're going to need water to flush your toilets. You're going to need water to drink and brush your teeth, do those little things. And you want to save all your bottled water that you bought for drinking. So you use that water. If you don't have a bathtub, if you live in a studio or something where you just have a shower, I've heard that one of the things you can do is fill up your washing machine with that type of water so you'll at least be able to flush your toilet. All right, back to football. We're going to try to flush us a victory in Philadelphia. And the way that you do that is you follow your blueprint as a football team. You win early, you win on first down, and you make sure you get them off the field, right? Right. You also go in early with your sub packages. This may be a game where the Jaguars don't play their normal base as much as you think, and they go in with their sub packages and then double back if the Eagles start acting like they want to run the ball a lot and then put their bigger guys back in. The beauty of the Jaguars' big guys, Folofalo-Akazi and Devon Hamilton, is you don't lose pass rush when those guys are not in the game. They are players who can also rush the passer very well. So they're just not as good as the other sub packages that when you bring in DeJuan Smoot and you have Arden Key along with Josh Allen and, of course, Trevon Walker. So if you see them in that sub package or not, that means they're going to be in nickel on the back end also. The thing that we have to remember is the Jaguars run a three-man front with two stand-up outside linebackers. On their sub package, they run a four-man front with one linebacker out of the game and an extra DB. So, or one defensive tackle out of the game and an extra DB, and they have like four defensive ends down with their hand on the ground. So that means the onus will be on the defensive backs to make sure they cover, right? I want to watch and monitor whether or not they decide to play man, play off to keep everything in front of them. The significance of that is if they play man, it gives them a chance to stick to their guy and know where their guy is at all time. But that also means the pass rush has to get home. And when the pass rush gets home, they have to corral the quarterback. Because if the quarterback breaks contain and he breaks the pocket and the linebackers are occupied with either running backs or tight ends, then those DBs that are in man, guess what? They got their back to the quarterback. And then you see these big scrambles by guys like Jalen Hurts, and he can do it. You see these scrambles, and all of a sudden, you wonder, why won't somebody stop him? Well, it's because of that perfect storm, no pun intended, scenario that I just gave you. So what you really, really want them to do is sort of mix and match it up a little bit. You want the DBs to always sort of be staring into the backfield, but you also want them to be in position where they also know where those wide receivers are, right? So the onus is going to be on the DBs to do what they did not do very well in Washington week one, and that is to communicate with each other. They got to get their jams. They have to know when to release a player. The guy who they're releasing them to has to know that it's their time to pick him up. So you have to slide right over. Just think about the long touchdown to Terry McLaurin where he sort of said, I saw it on the Pat McAfee show, he said they're playing it lazy, where all you got to do is not get a jam and then the other guy has his hips turned the wrong way and you get a 44-yard touchdown or whatever. That's the kind of stuff that you cannot have. You cannot have that. You also can't have missed opportunities to sack Jalen Hurts, and he is a handful because he has incredible athleticism and lower body strength. If you get your hands on him, you have to bring him down because the more he'll run and he'll scramble, but he'll also look to throw while he's scrambling. So this is why the communication on the back end and not being deep and defensive backs having to find the ball, I believe, is the most critical aspect of this game on Sunday. Now, there's something that works hand-in-hand with that. We just talked about the pass rush. Can they get home? And when they get home, don't be so over-eager to go wide and around your blockers. This is going to be some bull rush and some twist and some slants because they're going to have to affect. I want them to keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket, right? Gap and hold. Get upfield, beat your man, but don't extend yourself beyond his armpits. Make him throw the ball from the pocket. Not that he can't, but I just think you have to not give him everything he wants, and you have to sort of limit the things that you're going to allow him to do. So it's all on Tyson Campbell. It's all on Darius Williams. Shaq Griffin, if he plays, and I don't think he was on the injury report, and Trey Herndon, Andre Sisco. They're going to need them all. Rayshon Jenkins, they're going to need everybody, all hands on deck in the defensive backfield, because this is going to be the key for them stopping the Eagles. All right, we'll have some fun here in segment number three. I'm going to discuss with you the similarities or the differences between Doug Peterson's Super Bowl team and your 2022 Jacksonville Jaguars. I'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. Yep, segment three, man, on a rainy, windy, really before the storm, it's like a nice day outside, but we know what's coming, and what's coming is a little bit nasty, but we thank you for making us your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars. All right, man, let's get down to it. How do you have some fun and try to compare this team with the team that won the Super Bowl for Doug Peterson? First of all, you can say, why are you going to compare us to a Super Bowl champion and you're only three games into the year? I know how some of y'all think, and I know you're already on that. But I'm going to compare him to that Eagles team before they won the Super Bowl, when nobody thought they were going to do it, when they were not even the favorite to win the game. In fact, I don't think they were the favorite in about two of their playoff games that led up to their Super Bowl run. So what does this team have better than those teams had? Let's start in the secondary. Let's do it like that, and we'll work our way up from the secondary to the linebackers to the defensive line to the offensive line to the backs, receivers, and, of course, the quarterback. The coach is a wash because Doug Peterson is the same guy, so we'll start there. It's 50-50. It's a wash. It's whatever, right? From the DB's perspective, I don't think we have developed to have a Malcolm Jenkins yet. I do believe the corners are at least as good as the corners that Philadelphia team had. I will give the Eagles a slight advantage because can't get mad because the guy's old, but you can't get mad because your guys are too young. So I will give the Eagles a slight advantage because of Malcolm Jenkins and his leadership. Linebackers. I'll give the advantage to the Jacksonville Jaguars. There you go. Advantage Jacksonville, and I don't need to explain why, but they had some good linebackers, but these linebackers are special. I believe they are very, very good with Foye Oluwakan, as well as the second leader in the clubhouse to be rookie of the year, and that's Devin Lloyd, who's played lights out. And if you want to include the edge rushers, I can, but I'm going to include those guys in the defensive front. So I'll say advantage Jacksonville. Defensive line, I'm going to give it to Jacksonville because I'm including Josh Allen. And because remember, if they're in nickel, they are their defensive ends in a four-man front. To go along with those big guys in the middle, even though Fletcher Cox at that time was in his prime, and that in itself is something that you don't shake a stick at because I don't know if I can just necessarily say it's a Hall of Fame career, but he was at the top. He was at the pinnacle. He was one of the five or six best dudes at that position. And some people might say he was top three around that time at the defensive tackle position. But as a whole, I'll give it to Jacksonville. So it sounds like I'm saying that I believe the Jaguars defense is better than the Eagles defense that won the Super Bowl. Yeah, but let's relax. There's a caveat to it. Those guys were very, very experienced, had played together for a while. The Jaguars are young and still trying to figure it out. And they're probably facing more quarterbacks in the AFC than the Eagles faced in the NFC back then. All right, offensive line. This is where the Eagles, to me, have a clear advantage, not just because Jason Peters is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but it's also because Jason Kelce is a very, very good center. And then they had some other veteran parts. They had played together. They have the cohesion, the chemistry, the continuity, all of that stuff. I'll give them an advantage. But I will say this. The Jaguars offensive line has played a lot better and are one of the reasons why this team is where they are right now. Let's go to the receivers. This is tough. I'm going to say this is about even. The only reason I say it's about even is because I think the Eagles had the best player in the entire bunch, and that's Zach Ertz, who is a tight end, but I'm including them in this equation. And then they had a mixture. They had a big guy in Alshon Jeffrey. They had a little quick guy in Nelson Aguilar, as inconsistent as he might be. So from that perspective, they had the best player, and then they had a mix of versatility. I think the Jaguars receivers are better than people give them credit for. If Evan Engram was a little bit closer to Zach Ertz, I would say it's even or maybe an advantage for Jacksonville. But he has not had that kind of consistency. However, just because I give the advantage to the Eagles does not mean that the Jaguars aren't somewhere in the ballpark, because I think they are. All right, let's go to the running back position. This is also a very good one because we have a two-headed monster here. They had a three-headed monster in Philly. In terms of physicality, I would give it to Philadelphia. But they were also running through holes that you could take a dump truck through. And they were physical. Guys had been around. They had Jay Ajayi. They had Clement, the running back, and they also had LeGarrette Blount. So they had a real good mix, and Blount had been a champion before in New England. So they had guys with a little bit more experience. But the Jaguars have Batman and Robin, baby. They got speed in Travis Etienne, the ability to have a home run, and then they got vision and hard to tackle. You got to be rooting for James Robinson. If you're not, you're not a human being, man. James Robinson is the cold-hearted truth. So I'm going to give the Jaguars an advantage at running back because I do think they're younger, they're more explosive, and they're two guys sharing the rock, getting 13 to 16 touches as opposed to three. So I'm going to give the advantage to Jacksonville. Finally, quarterback. The Eagles had two quarterbacks, one that was in Carson Wentz, who was sort of he was a leading candidate for MVP before he got hurt, and then Nick Foles, who had the run of all runs in the great Super Bowl. We don't like the way he played down here. Advantage Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence is the difference. So right now, they have a Super Bowl. We don't. But I will tell you this. If the Jaguars win this game, and on the Locked On NFL Power Poll, they're 14th, and my friend Pete Prisco at CBS made them 9th, the Jaguars win this game, they will be a team hanging around that top six, and folks are going to start recognizing that maybe, just maybe, the Jaguars are a serious, serious problem. We'll have our crossover show tomorrow. Before you get to that, make sure you check out Locked On, the Locked On Network, for the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Now, these guys are the quintessential NFL pros and experts. Brian Peacock, he's on Locked On 49ers with my man Eric Crocker, and he gives it to you like you can't get it. And then you put Matt Williamson next to him, and he's a former NFL scout. It is something like nothing else you've ever heard. Make sure you like and subscribe and find that wherever you get your podcast. That also is free on all platforms. Buckle down, man. Everybody, I hope you stay safe during the storm, and hopefully you'll have some Wi-Fi or some electricity, and you'll be able to see this podcast and the one on tomorrow. Until then, you guys take care of each other. Also, let's send a shout out for strength to all of our first responders and our emergency workers. It's always a trying time. And once again, the folks down in the Southwest and in the Gulf area of the state of Florida, we're thinking about you. Godspeed. We'll see you here next time on Locked On Jaguars.